going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Listening to the best of the Giants.
And the Giants have won!
A weekly mix of WFAN Sports Radio 101.9's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
The Jackson Dart thing. So, I mean, of course, we had heard yesterday, and then Shane's kid.
Carson
Shane.
Get that kid on the phone now. I want to talk to that kid. So, that kid's got inside information, man.
Right. Well, of course. Carson Shane put out the Jackson Dart thing. So I was prepared for it, that they liked him. And I was also prepared for it to be a smokescreen, too. But so it wasn't all that surprising that they ended up with him. But now I'm thinking, like you look at these teams that, so they got duped by the Rams because people were saying McVay loves Dart. Well, Connor Hughes came out and said there was no way in hell that the Rams were taking Jackson Dart, according to his league sources. And, oh, by the way, you know, they ended up trading out of their pick as well. So then you look at all of these other situations here. All right, so the Falcons traded up, fine. Then you got the Ravens not taking a quarterback. Lions not taking a quarterback. Commanders not taking a quarterback. Bills not taking a quarterback.
That doesn't mean that they wouldn't be trading up with the Browns, who I thought the Browns actually finally did a smart thing. Because you remember when the season was over and Myles Garrett was unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell you that the Browns should trade Myles Garrett, get more assets back, start rebuilding this team.
Yeah.
And instead of trading Myles Garrett, they essentially traded Travis Hunter to the Jags. And they're going to rebuild their team through the draft by acquiring more draft picks and getting the first round pick from the Jags next year.
Yeah.
I mean, all of this stuff, I think if you have designs on a quarterback in the future, maybe that quarterback in the future, let's say, is Arch Manning.
Mm-hmm.
And he may not come out next year. I was with Peyton yesterday, and I asked him, how's Arch doing? He goes, he loves Texas. Everything's great. I said, is it coming out next year? He goes, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. He really didn't know. I mean, as a matter of fact, he said he's really enjoying his time there, and maybe he wants to do what Uncle Peyton and Uncle Eli did and stay in college and enjoy your college time before you have to step into this madness that is called the NFL. But anyway, I thought the Browns did the right thing last night. They traded a premium player to the Jags who had basically wanted him, and that GM down there in Jacksonville was just, you know, pining for a trade. He wanted a trade. He wanted to get Travis Hunter. And then the Browns come away with Mason Graham, who I thought was you know, another can't-miss, terrific player for the defensive line of the Browns, and then they added more assets. So, finally, I felt like the Browns got it right.
Yeah, good for them. They'll still suck for the next 30 years.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just tired
okay,
of them. Why are we even focusing on the Cleveland Browns right now?
Well,
they never do anything right.
Because you know why? Because that was a huge trade. That's why. That's why.
Don't care. They suck. They always suck. They never do anything. They're a bunch of losers. Franchise. They're worse than the two teams here, for God's sakes. We're wasting our breath on the goddamn Cleveland Browns.
Well, it was a big trade last night. You have to admit that.
Okay. Well, you know, the bigger trade was the Jackson Dart one, who's pudgy and from Utah, and claps. He's a pudgy Utah clapper. That's what we got.
Okay.
That's what we got here.
Use the pudgy.
What do you mean? We already did use the pudgy.
Yeah, but I didn't get to you early enough. I was running a little bit late this morning.
Well, yeah, but you were the one who forced it out of me the other day. Yeah, okay.
All right, well, I just didn't get here.
I said enough. I didn't say I wanted to say it. You're the one who said it. You want me to say it?
No, I don't want you to say it.
But you, yesterday, I said I wasn't going to say it. And then you said, I'll say it, and you went out and said it.
Right, but then I said, I'll say it because that was part of something that you could say. It wasn't something that you couldn't say. You weren't told you couldn't say it.
Well, I said
because you were mixing up what you thought you could say and you couldn't say, and this is in regards to Phil's notes.
Right, but there was one player that he gave you the notes. He said, don't say this. And I said, it wasn't that guy.
And it wasn't that.
Right.
That's why I said
it. But I still didn't want to say it. I still, you go back, you could play the test.
I know. And I can't
get mad at me.
I'm not.
Can't get mad at me with that one.
Dude, I'm not mad at you.
Listen, the pudgy's already out there. So it's already out there.
Shut your ass up.
It's already out there. It's in the universe. It's the FAN posted it.
Oh my gosh.
It's all out there. It's already happened.
I just wanted to.
Pudgy's been born into the world.
I just wanted to lay off the pudgy because I did get a phone call yesterday.
Yeah. Well.
And he said, you know, he looked at my notes and used the word pudgy. I said, well, pudgy's a funny word. And Gio likes funny words. And Gio likes to use those words over and over again.
You were
in
here when he did the same thing. You were here, too. Because
no, I know that. I understand
that. You two guys trying to pin this on me is
hilarious. No. I told him. I said I was the one that A-OK'd the use of the word because that wasn't on the list that you said that we couldn't say on your notes.
Oh, by the way, cat's out of the bag spot. Pudgy's out into the universe.
Tomato, banana, papaya, apple, grape, wild blueberry. Oh, my gosh.
Can't take it back now.
So I had to explain it to him yesterday.
Yeah.
And I had to take the brunt of the heat.
All right.
I absorbed the heat for you.
For me, it wasn't my decision. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's what I told him. He thought
you just said you absorbed the heat for me. The heat shouldn't be on me. I was trying to protect him. You didn't care.
I'm just telling you what I had to deal with yesterday.
Okay.
And I protected you yesterday. I took the slings and arrows because I said it was me who brought the word up. Because I knew that was on the scouting report
all right.
That we were told.
He never said not to say that.
Right. I think he forgot that and got that mixed up with something else.
That is true. Yes.
So all I'm saying is that, yes, I said I brought it up. It was my fault. Because he said he'd tell that little meatball next to you. to stop using that word.
Oh, that's great. I love that guy. Anyway,
he may call in this morning, Al, if he has something to get off his chest.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
All right.
Yeah.
Y'all be on the lookout for Phil Sims.
Yeah. Either that or you may want to text him and say, you got something you want to get off your chest.
Here's the other thing.
Yeah.
Now he's a giant. So now all we're going to hear is how great Jackson Dart is. Come on. You know that. I know that. Whatever he really feels about him will be out the window. I don't know. This is just another example, one of these things. It's just these guys that get overrated, quarterback needy teams. It's just over and over and over and over again. I mean, it's like if you go back to the beginning of this draft and the evaluation, you're like, I don't think Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders are top 10 picks. Okay.
That's what I said, right. Especially compared to last year's picks.
Okay. So if they're not top 10 picks, at that point of the evaluation, where the F was Jackson Dart? Nowhere to be found. I'll answer it for you. But then all of a sudden, we need a quarterback because we won some stupid-ass game against the Indianapolis Colts. So let's trade back in and get this guy
to assist.
And then as a system quarterback in Lane Kiffin's offense and has no idea what the hell he's doing unless he's looking to the sideline for the coach to give him the play.
All right, well, that's going to have to change. And there's no...
He's not Josh Allen, by the way. It's Josh Allen comparisons. You were gonna
I understand.
Not
that.
Josh
that's
Allen.
Just, that's just physical. I'm just saying that it's he doesn't have to play right away. This is why you have Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston here. He can sit and do some mop-up duty, whatever it may be, however they decide to use him. But there's no pressure to throw him in there right now. And this is Brian Daboll's, you know, it's his quarterback. This is the guy that he decided out of this draft that they wanted if they couldn't get Cam Ward. So I'm not going to bitch and complain about that because it's one piece of the puzzle. The Giants should have a better defense. There's still some more draft picks to make over the next 2 days.
It's the most important piece of the puzzle.
You know what? It's okay.
Listen, I know we all want to sit here and couch this thing because he may end up being good, but I'm sorry. I will take the you were wrong all day long. I just think it was stupid. Just like I sat here and I thought that the Vikings taking J.J. McCarthy was stupid. So if anybody sits here and is like, oh, you know, you're hating on the Giants. No, I think what my team did was stupid. I can't stand that little kid. And I don't think he's going to stink.
Well, the thing is that you do have a very strong opinion, which I appreciate, which is what you're supposed
and
to
I
have
may be
here.
Wrong about it. But I'm not going to sit here and couch every goddamn statement. We'll see what happens. No, this is stupid. And if it works out, it works out. My opinion was stupid. The guy's going to suck in the NFL.
Make it two guys.
He doesn't have it. I'm just telling you right now, you can smell it.
Same high school as Zach Wilson. And we're sending him to get another one of these kids to New Jersey to save a New York football franchise.
And by the way, the kid is not 21.
Oh, my
God. You got to remember, he's 26.
No, he's not 26. Tyler Shuck was 26.
Oh, Tyler, how old is this kid? 23?
I don't even
21, I think.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
He's 21.
Oh, God.
He's going to be 22 next month, if that
helps.
There
you go.
It also says here he's pudgy.
Stop.
On his Wikipedia. I don't know if it's just a Wikipedia. Anybody can put that up.
I want to love this, man. I want to love this for the Giant fan, and I want to love this for the Giants organization. The problem is I don't. I like it. Don't love it, but I'm also very confused by it. So we talked about this yesterday, right? And I even said this, and most of us thought Abdul Carter was a layup. By the way, the Giants defense is going to be absolutely ferocious. He is a dude. He is a beast. He is a demon. Phenomenal. Easy pick, but phenomenal player. Great, great start for that. The thing that's interesting to me, like if you told me yesterday when I walked out of the studio, hey, the Giants are going to get Abdul Carter. And oh, yeah, by the way, they're going to do what many of us have been imploring them to do. That's to trade back into the first round and walk away with a quarterback. I would have been sitting there saying, they're gold. Gold move. Platinum move. The Giants did everything that they had to do. The problem is I'm not saying that because I feel like the Giants were incredibly confused last night. Incredibly confused. So I guess I could go back to the Stafford stuff, but that's so long expired. But to me, that was the first notion that they didn't like many of these quarterbacks in college. Okay, so they went after Stafford. He played him a little bit, got more money for the Rams. They move on to plan B. The Sanders smoke, never really thought Ward was in play, whatever. You heard Dort's name a lot. But why in the world, like if you love Jackson Dart, okay, why in the world would you try to trade feverishly for Cam Ward? Who, by the way, most pundits, and I don't consider myself to be in this category because I'm not a scout, I don't cover the NFL exclusively or college for a living. Most pundits don't even know if he is that good. But yet, the Giants were basically begging the Titans to trade for Cam Ward. You know what I feel like? God, I hate to say this, but I mean it. I feel like the Giants just felt like they had to check a box last night. They had to check a box. You don't think they listen to WFAN? I can promise you that they do. Now, I'm not saying that that's the wind behind their sails in terms of draft decisions. I'm not saying that at all. But they have heard you speak. They have heard you rant. They have heard this. They have heard the dissatisfaction for years about the quarterback spot. And to their credit, they knew that they had to address this. But where I'm very torn, so Dable got his guy. Dable was the dark guy. Shane was the Sanders guy. I guess evidently at one point for about a day and a half, I guess everybody was a Cam Ward guy. So explain to me this. Or answer me this. Do you really think, like in unison, the Giants got the quarterback that they want? I mean the specific person, not the concept of drafting and moving into the first round, getting a second first round pick, and taking specifically him. I don't. Now, listen, I give him a lot of credit for being creative and hustling. I think that their process was certainly well-intentioned and really all-encompassing. I thought they ran a very good pre-draft, whatever, evaluation process. They flipped over every rock. Now, one thing I'm not going to do here is I'm not going to waste your time. I've seen Jackson Dart play twice, whatever. I've seen the film. I mean, I'm not turning into Mel Kiper. Right, you know, a little bit hesitant when he gets to his back foot. His drop is a little quick. He's got a little shoulder hitch. Who the hell knows? I mean, the amount of quarterbacks that fail that we think are going to be great and the amount of quarterbacks that we laugh at on draft night as complete bust and stiffs who wind up being very influential in the NFL. I gave up years ago. I got no idea. I'm one of the guys. I'm going to at least come clean. I don't know. I don't know if Jackson Dart's going to be good. I don't like the fact that Gio had me rolling. God, Gio lost his mind. You know, hey, instead of hut, you know, 32, it's the clap. I mean, that's a little disconcerting. Now, here's the other thing, too. If you like Dart, and you're obviously allowed to, we'll get to the calls early, 888-808-1019. If you like him, what is the plan? See, this is the other thing that confuses me. So again, they wanted Cam Ward. They tried to get Cam Ward, couldn't get him, got to pivot, got to do something. All right, they do it. They're aggressive. Get Jackson Dart. Fine. Again, they're trying to do things that they have to do to take the next step as a franchise. I'm fine with that. But he's the third string quarterback now. Is he even going to get reps in practice? I mean, I honestly think that you have to cut Jameis Winston. Which is fine. I mean, that's not really a big part of the conversation today because Jameis wasn't going to start anyway. But what kind of sense, if you want to get him a one-year laboratory, Jackson Dart, Russell's going to start. I don't think Dart's going to play this year. And right now, obviously, Jameis Winston's number two. Was this kid going to be holding his helmet for the entire season, watching two guys who won't be here in a year take these reps while he's collecting dust? So that doesn't make sense to me. And again, I will give you this little piece, and then I'll jump to the phones. We'll get to the Jets later. Obviously, Knicks next hour. Oh, what a sports night. Last night was fun. So I'm not even going to quibble with like what they gave up for him. But I do think that they misread that a little bit. I don't think that they had to do that early. And by the way, if you want a very blunt assessment of who they should have taken, I would have taken Jalen Milroe. And I've said that. And they could have gotten Jalen Milroe today. So in a nutshell, honestly, I'm not trying to be insincere here, and I'm not trying to be unfair. I applaud the vision. I do. I applaud the concept of what they were doing. But it's the name, and then it's the execution that baffles me. All right, 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the fence. Sal is off today, so sending prayers out to Sal and his family. He knows that for sure. All right, we're inside of our Town Fair Tire studio. Friends of Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Let me get limo driver Ed first up, Easton, PA. What up, Eddie?
Hey, brother, how you doing? Hey, I'm listen, good. You know, as a Jets fan, but I know we're talking, I'm going to talk about the Giants real quick. Hey, the organization told them, we'll give you 1 year. Go ahead and draft them. Take them. Do what you can do, but after that, we're going to give you 2 years. After that, that's going to be it. Now, if Wilson don't play good, you know, he they'll probably bench him. You know, it depends what happens, you know. But yeah. With Shador, let me go ahead, brother.
Go ahead. How about Shador? Wow, go ahead.
Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you right now, man, the bling bling and all these different things he was doing.
Yeah.
And the league said, the 32 teams said, your daddy don't run the NFL here. Simple as pie.
Yeah. As pie. I don't, Eddie, I got to be honest, man. Yeah, I don't think it's that simple, and thanks for the call. I disagree. I just don't think that the film is incredibly favorable to him. I think Shedeur Sanders is a good kid. I don't want to get thrown off scent too much here. I think he's a good kid. I think he's a really good competitor. And I don't think he's going to be overwhelmed by anything about the NFL because of his dad. He has been groomed to be a star. And he's seen the highlights. He's been a part of the glitz and the glamour and that kind of life since he was born. So I don't think anything about the New York stage or the NFL is going to overwhelm him. I just see fairly average arm talent, fairly average size, and far from elite speed. I don't think he's a very dynamic athlete. So that's what I would say about Sanders, but that's nuts. Do you see the draft room that he built? Did you guys see this on social media? Like, you start seeing the legendary stuff and the legendary brand. I'm not a big fan of that, but I could also tell you, like, if I was getting drafted, I could promise you I'm walking out there and my suit is going to be sick and I'm going to have some bling. So I mean, that's just the way it is. Come on. I have no problem with that, but I just don't think he's very good. Anthony's up in the Bronx. Ant, what's happening, buddy? How you doing today?
I'm good, but I don't think you have any idea what you're talking about.
Okay, tell me why.
What are you so confused about? They went after Cam Ward because they really liked him.
Yes.
They couldn't get him.
Okay.
So they also like Jackson Dart. What is the problem? I don't even understand.
Well, just explain this to you.
You're talking about, first off, one other thing. You like Zach Wilson for 5 years.
Oh, forget about Zach.
So what do you know?
And hold on, Ant.
What do you know?
And I was wrong. I mean,
so you're wrong about, I think, you said Shedeur Sanders is a good kid. Based on what?
Well, because has he ever been arrested?
No. So what? So because he hasn't been arrested makes him a good professional? No. Sorry.
Ant, let's reel it in, bud. You're all over the map, dude.
I'm not. I'm just telling you, making multiple points quickly.
Well, okay. Well, I'm not going to hang up on you, so you don't have to. You don't have to speed talk here. Number one.
Okay.
I was wrong on Zach.
Okay.
I was wrong. Next time.
I don't understand. What is the problem with them getting Dart? You're talking about franchise quarterback for 5 to 10 years, possibly.
Or he's a complete stiff. And they wasted draft equity, they don't know what
they're
doing.
I think you're completely wrong about him, and he's going to be very good,
Giants
fan.
What, give me the Anthony from the Broncos.
He can run,
he's tough,
he can throw under pressure.
He's got quick hips, he processes well.
You asked the question, and I answered it.
How many times did you watch him play?
I watched his highlights, and I watched other people break him down. I just answered your question.
Stop, man. Ant, come on, Ant. If I'm not going to pretend I know all about these guys, and I've actually watched a couple of games, I mean, maybe you should borrow a page from my book and say, I don't really know what we're getting. Now, by the way, you could still like the move, Ant. Believe what you want. All I'm saying is, it seems like their plan is scattered. All of the reports have conflicting items that make me scratch my head. Number one, Dable was clearly a Dart guy. We know that. Shane was clearly a Sanders guy. Nothing in between. Very black and white. So you start with an organizational disagreement, which, by the way, I'm fine with that. You flush it out like big boys. And I give Shane credit for kind of acquiescing to his coach. I do. I think that's... Now, you better be right, otherwise you're both out, but not every GM would do that. That would be a power trip that many would flex on. So, initially, they didn't have the same view on the quarterbacks. All right, so that's a little disconcerting. I don't even know if they loved Cam Ward. I think that was partly out of desperation, you know? So, they tried to trade for Cam Ward, and they were going to give up a ton. And I laud them for being aggressive. That's fine, honestly. But I'm just telling you what I think. I don't believe that they loved Cam Ward. I think they liked him. They'll go on a couple dates. Not marrying you. I mean, we'll get a little dinner, go to the movies. That's fine. Okay. Maybe even take a little vacation. Then we're moving on. Not once did I ever think that they were enamored with Cam Ward. And I just don't think that they were. So if you didn't love the guy who went first, how could you possibly love a guy who, if the Giants didn't do what they did, in all probability, has not yet been drafted, meaning he's still sitting there today. I'm not disparaging the kid's talents because I'm not pretending to know things that I don't know. Now, I don't love the fact that he can't call out a play from, you know, the clap thing is ridiculous. And I'm not even trying to clown the young man, but I mean, you got to be verbal in the NFL. Like, that worries me a little bit. Now, you got two quarterbacks, both of whom will be here for a year. Maybe one of them will be here for two. And the kid's going to sit there and watch. Again, this feels to me like the Giants checked a box because they knew that they had to try to. Let me get Rich in Saville, BT and Sound on the Fan. Rich, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Rich.
Yeah, just calling about this quarterback thing. I'm not big on the dart pick either. I would rather have Milrow, but I think the trade up was with the fifth-round option, a fifth-year option. I think it was a total business decision. I think they were doing that with any quarterback.
Yeah, and we've talked about that. I remember saying to Sal yesterday, or the day before, Lamar Jackson. That was a gift from Ozzie Newsome, where they moved in, last pick, first round, bang, get the extra year of evaluation and obviously retention if it works out. But, hey, I mean, you could get an extra 5 years for free. If he can't play, it doesn't matter. Shane and Dable aren't going to be around to reap the rewards. I'm not even questioning. I know he's got a pretty good arm, and I know he's a pretty good athlete, and he's pretty tough. I know the things that most of you know. I'm just not sure. I don't believe they're incredibly deep into their convictions of how they feel about him. Which means I think they checked the box.
Yeah, I think it's I think they like him. I think they would have traded back. I think they would have traded back down, picked up Show, and later on in the third. But what they gave up for him, it isn't much. So yeah, it's worth the gamble. Hopefully the guy brings it.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Listen, that's fine. Again, I mean, I think that there are a good amount of people out there who really, really like it. Matter of fact, let me see if I can find it. This is the ironic part. As I'm yelling at some of these callers and going back and forth, I tweeted last night. Yeah, I was tweeting a lot last night. I usually don't tweet during games. Just try to keep the phone away. But the draft, the Knicks, we'll get to the Knicks, obviously, at 11. We'll do the Jets coming up. Where was it? Little Cat, little Knicks. Oh, God, something on that schedule drop news bit, which was awful. I'll get to that later. Here it is. All right. No, I'm sorry. Hell is it? All right. After the Giants took Abdul Carter, and once the draft board started to present itself in a way, which many of us thought that it would. Remember, me and Sal have been talking about Shedeur Sanders dropping for a while, and Diana Rossini, who we had on the show, who we love, she's like, nope, Saints aren't taking him at 9. So once things were following the way they were beginning to take shape for the last week or so, I kind of knew that he was going to drop. And anyway, I tweeted this. I said, all right, Giants, go nuts, show some stones, trade back into round one and get a quarterback. And they did. But the crazy thing is, I still don't love it. I don't love it because it doesn't feel... And I admit, I'm trying to read their emotions, and maybe that'll come back and burn me, and if so, I'll own it. But it feels like they were chasing. It feels like he was option 4 or 5. Hey, maybe sometimes you get lucky, and the fourth or the fifth option is a good thing, and you kind of luck out. But right now, it's not what I would have done. Let me get Frank up in Rockland County. Frank, BT and Sal, what's up, bud?
50-plus year Giants fan. Okay. Grant, you're a nice guy, but you're dead wrong, kiddo.
Okay. Tell me why.
First of all, Eli and Kurt Warner gave their blessing, and they both of them played a little more football than you and me.
Okay, all right. Can I just say one thing before I let you keep going? Peyton also said that Adam Gase will be a good head coach. So I don't know if everything that the Mannings say is accurate, but maybe this one will be. Keep going, Frank.
They have played a little more football.
Yes,
Kurt Warner said he throws the best 40-yard pass of anybody in this draft. I heard that last night.
All right. Okay.
Jeremiah said he thinks it's a great move.
Okay.
And the two guys ahead of him, they're going to be there a year or two. And I don't hope it's less. I think the kid is going to play towards the end of the year like they did with Eli. And Eli,
yep.
Eli didn't praise anybody but this kid. And he's not getting no money from this kid. It's nothing off his rear end. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah. No, you're right about that. Yeah, yeah. You sound like a great guy. And listen, by the way, Frank, you know what you should really be enthused about? And again, I would not have done the dart move myself, not there.
I got to go, kid. Thank you.
Yeah, I got you, buddy. Hang it up on me. Usually it's the other way around. I got to go. I love that guy. He sounds like a real... real old school OG. Anyway, what I was going to tell you, what you should be excited about is this blossoming defense that is suddenly going to start destroying and eating people alive. That's, to me, what's exciting about the New York Football Giants, because that's always been their identity, whether it's the couple of championships with Bill or the couple of championships with Coughlin. And everybody loves Eli. We know that. And he's eventually going to get into the Hall of Fame. And when the games got bigger, Eli balled out. But if he doesn't have that defensive line, Eli's not sniffing a Super Bowl ever. And if you're honest about yourself, you know that I'm right. So the Giants' identity now, they're going to seek and destroy. They are fast. They are explosive. They are interchangeable. And the thing about Abdul Carter, you see this on the film, and again, I'm not a tape head. I'm doing it for a living. But this jumped out immediately. Like, it's not, he doesn't just make every play at like on the side of the ball that he's lined up on. Like, there are, he's all over the place. He's jumping across the line, up and down. His pursuit, you know, from the weak side is, again, I hate when I sound like a scout, but it's true. Like, you just watch the film. So to me, you have that and you've got all these other options now. That's what I'm most pumped up about if I'm a Giants fan. But I know you want your quarterback. Many of you are pumped up that you got one. I think the Giants had the right idea and, again, the right concept. I think the execution was wrong. But that's just me. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal on the Fan coming up. How about those Jetsies? And, oh, yeah, by the way, Shedeur Sanders is still there. Should the Jets take a swing on him?
I've said this multiple times, and I'll say it again now because it's relevant. When you look at the big board for this draft, and particularly the offensive line, there are a ton. I mean, there are 14, I think I counted yesterday or last week, 14 top 100 tackles. So 14. Now, there's not very much, you know, difference between those four, right. But there's 14 in the top 100, which means if you took a tackle every whatever, five or six picks, there's going to be a ton of them that are top third round or better, quality tackles.
Some of them people available. Project as a guard, but nonetheless.
Right. It doesn't matter. There's 14 top 100 players. And so there's a chance that in the third round, you're going to get a Pro Bowl player.
Especially because they have the first pick in the third round.
Exactly. But I'm just saying any team.
Yeah.
Like the Cleveland Browns could take a guard in the third round, pick whatever, 98 or whatever it would be, and they could get a Pro Bowl type player because there's so many good players at the offensive line. So trust me, the Giants are taking an offensive lineman in this draft, whether it's the third pick at the first round of the third first pick of the third round or in the fourth round, and you're gonna get a good player. So do the Giants need help on their offensive line? Absolutely. It's the one thing that just gives me agita about this team, because in addition to having an identity back in 2007, really my entire tenure and then the Super Bowl seasons afterwards, the identity was let's run the hell out of the football and have a great defensive front.
Right.
And it seems like they're getting back to some of that. But the only way you're running the hell out of the football is if you have a great offensive line.
Yeah, I hope as the Giants sit there at 65 tonight, however round two goes, if the best player on the board is one of these offensive linemen, by all means, take him. But I am now, Tiki, under the standpoint of I want the best player available, period. I want to take the best players with these picks left. And the Giants still, I think, have a gaping hole at defensive tackle. Yep. If that happens to be the best player on the ball, 65, keep loading up this defense in the trenches. I'm okay with that. Add to that because they do have that. If the best player on the board, by the way, happens to be a wide receiver, I'd do that too. Right.
How about two Michigan D tackles?
In the first round, yeah.
In the first round. That was impressive.
Absolutely. Gabe in Wayne, New Jersey with an interesting thought. Gabe, what's up?
What's up, Wayne? I mean, Gabe.
Hey, guys. This is a really awkward phone call. I'm so sorry. Thanks for taking the call. You guys are awesome. Yesterday was really cool. I had to pop in, pop out real quick. I had to pick up the little one from Grandma Daycare, but it was nice to see Tommy. And just thank Tommy for letting me get all my Yankees venting out whenever I feel like it. So I appreciate that.
Nice.
But look, I think I got a case here, all right? So
let's hear it.
Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, esteemed guests, and Sean Morash.
Yes.
May it please the court. I think Kiki got a big L here. The other day on Wednesday, I called in, and I asked about these Shador Sanders rumors, why he was dropping like a rock.
Uh-huh.
And I said that there were some rumors that said that he might fall to the second round. Kiki, I think your exact words were, that's definitely not going to happen. I think it was something like that. I might have just done my best Tiki impression.
Wow.
I can't do a Tiki impression. I apologize.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, I don't either.
But I mean, roll the tape. I don't know. Like, you know, maybe somebody's got it. But I think this happened. So, I mean, you know, if nothing else, what the hell did happen?
But Gabe, all right? But hold on, Gabe. Yeah, do we care enough about Shador Sanders for me to wear the L over it?
I don't. Here's my issue.
My next question was what color is the L going to be? Is it going to be Colorado? Because it can't be Giants. It can't be Jets. Now. Like, I don't. It was a lot of logistical issues that were running through my mind.
Listen to me. I don't think this is a bad call, but I need to know this before we let you go. Evan Roberts, and the reason you're not hearing him right now, Tiki has benched him and suspended him until further notice because he guaranteed Shador would go three and he's sliding out of the second round. Now you're saying Tiki should wear an L because Tiki scoffed that he would slide into the second round. I need to know, Gabe, you said you were at American Dream yesterday. Are you in Evan Roberts' plant that Evan is trying while he's not in the
easy, easy. Any photos that there may exist of me shaking Evan's hat.
Do you own my Mets Bible?
This is so awkward. I don't ask you personal questions, right? Like, you know, knock it off. All right, Sean, like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here, man? Come on.
All right, Gabe. Thanks for the call. I think he owns my Mets Bible.
Right, but to answer his question, what happened, we kind of addressed it yesterday. I think the interview process went very poorly for him. And when we talked about it yesterday, and Gabe might have been there and then leaving when we were talking about this, as a general manager, as an owner, because all these guys sit down with these quarterback prospects, particularly quarterback prospects, when you're going through your interview and you're expressing your personality, you're starting to you see the attitude, they can't help but look at you as the face of their franchise. And
right.
The person who's going to stand up after a glorifying win or the demoralizing loss, that's the person that they want to push in front of the camera, right? You're selling the organization. And I think that during that process, Shador Sanders came off just not great.
Right.
And that's what you started to hear from the insiders around the NFL. It was interesting because Sean and I were talking about something with Loogie right before the show started. And this is maybe because of NIL. And trust me, guys, we know that Shador Sanders, whether via his father or via the ridiculous amount of NIL money that he made, he got paid.
Right.
Like a lot over the last couple of years. And Jay Glazer said something interesting, and it was one of his posts on, I saw it on Instagram, I'm sure he did it on every platform, that said it used to be that there were flags thrown at kids coming out of college for, one, injury, two, character issues. But now there's a third one, and it's basically doesn't love football.
Yeah.
And that can come in a couple of ways. Like, I'm just here because I'm good at this. I don't love it. I don't want to be great. I'm just good at this, so that's why I'm doing it. Or I don't need to grind to go get paid. Like, the NFL is one of the few sports where you, unless you're drafted in the top 15,
right,
you got to earn getting paid.
Yes.
you just don't get paid. You don't just show up and like, hey, I'm a great prospect, and I'm going to get called up, and then once my arbitration runs out, they're going to pay me some guaranteed contract, and I'm going to be set for the rest of my life.
You can be cut within a year.
You have to earn it in the NFL. And a lot of these kids have come into the NFL rich.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I mean, I'm rich.
Right, exactly. I'm rich, bitch. Now I'm even richer because I got drafted in the first round. So I think there's starting to become this little thing to watch that kids come in and they don't love it. They don't love the grind. They don't want to grind because they're already paid. And they think that you know, this $4 or $5 million that they have coming out of college is all they're going to need in their life. And they might be right, unless they start buying Ferraris and, you know, iced up chains and everything else. But this is something to watch,
yeah,
with kids who sometimes come off as entitled. And if you ever, if you looked at any of the social media of Shador Sanders over the last 2 years, trust me, you see him driving a Bentley. You see him wearing ice out the wazoo. You see him on every social media, you know, commercial post. Does he love the game? And if that's a question, teams are increasingly not going to take you. Gabe, that's my best guess of why he fell.
Yeah, and also last night, how many empty couch shots? It was almost like he was like teasing the camera last night with this whole draft party. There was a lot going on. Now, before we do break and continue your calls, 888-808-1019, there was one person on the show, Tiki, that very early on in this draft process kept saying he would have no problem if the Giants took Jackson Dart in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Laughed at him. We mocked him. Oh, Jackson Dart, he's a second round pick, third round pick. And that was Positive Tommy Lugauer. Positive Tommy has yet to address the nation on his guy Jackson Dart now becoming the quarterback. Thoughts, Positive Tommy?
Thanks, Sean. Thank you, Tiki. Giant fans, no, I love Jackson Dart a lot. A couple reasons. Number one, his size, his ability to run the football. I think he fits more of the modern game, not being the pocket passer. Think Bo Nix, think Jalen Hurts. And what I love most about him, he's got that dog in him. I appreciate and respect his resume both on and off the field. You feel me on that? So I love the way that he spells his name, J-A-X. I mean, we got a guy who has some edge here. I mean, you spell your name like that, that's a tremendous. Where's the eye black? Only under one eye. He just, you saw the reaction last night, too. He had about 75,000 people there, you know. So I just think he's got that fire, that edge. And if there's anybody out there right now that is a detractor of this pick, what I would say is this. If you were a Brian Daboll supporter, and he's been glazed a lot by Giant fans, the quarterback whisperer,
yep,
he wanted Dart. So if you believe in Daboll, you should believe in Dart, because Jackson Dart is a Giant right now because the head coach sees something in him, and he sees a guy that he can mold, he can turn into, if you want to go as high as Josh Allen, I said more of a Jalen Hurts, who, by the way, won a Super Bowl. Bo Nix was great in his rookie year. So to me, this was a slam dunk pick. This was a slam dunk night. And you know I've been critical of both guys, but I thought they nailed it last night.
Okay, wow. So answer me this. What happens to Tommy DeVito?
Oh. Okay, so that's a very sensitive topic. Oh. I've been told or been asked to speak on that. As I've said, Tommy DeVito is interning right now. So next year, when Russ is gone, when Jameis is gone, you have a quarterback room of Jackson Dart. Tommy no longer interning. He will be part of that quarterback room, and we will go from there. But he's under an internship right now. He's part of the quarterback room. In my opinion, he's going nowhere.
Okay.
Nice.
Practice, I like that. Squad, and then a backup next year.
I am very curious about your guys' opinion on this.
They don't like Giants, clearly.
Nope. Clearly not. They're anti-Giants, anti-New York. Abdul Carter said this last night with Bleacher Report in terms of his number. And I want you to take a listen to this and tell me if you find this cute and funny or if there's any part of you that's offended. Here's Abdul Carter last night talking about what number he may wear now that he's a member of the New York Football Giants.
You're going to get that 11, right?
I don't know, bro. I got a different number in mind.
Oh, what number? Well, I'm heartbroken already. I told the people he's going to get that. I said we better have the best swap in the history of football. What number are you thinking, bro?
I don't know. 56 sound real good, but we gotta have a
Wow. Now,
that's just laughable.
Number 11 is already retired for the great Phil Sims.
Of course.
The other number he happened to mention, 56, is not just retired, but it is worn by, in my humble opinion, the greatest New York football giant of them all, the great Lawrence Taylor.
No doubt.
And you've got a guy, whether he's joking or not, you tell me, you're the giant guy. You're a giant legend yourself, Tiki. Are you not at least a little like, are you serious, dude, that he even said that?
I am tickled by it.
What do you mean tickled? What does that mean?
Tickled. Like, I know you're not serious, because why would you be serious about something like that? First of all, Lawrence Taylor would kick your ass if you took his number. Secondly, you got to prove it before you could wear that number ever. Even think about wearing that number. We think you're going to be good. We don't know that you're going to be great like Lawrence Taylor, who was great from jump, by the way. Let's not forget that. Lawrence Taylor wasn't, we figured it out a couple years in. Lawrence Taylor was great from the first practice and training camp, period. Be that, maybe we'll have a little of a conversation. Other than that, I'm just tickled.
So you're saying
I'm curious now, Teague. Are you tickled because it's almost like a warning shot at this kid?
No,
like, I know
I'm
you're
tickled
kidding.
Like you're not serious because you got to prove it to be serious.
But is he serious?
I don't think so.
Sean, did you take that as serious?
I think I did only because I know it's a very different reason and families involved. The Giants opened up this can of worms last year with Malik Nabers.
True.
They opened up this can of worms with Ray Flaherty's number being retired. And I know his family gave the blessing, but it took John Mara going to the family and giving this. And by the way, it led to renewed discussion, learning about Ray Flaherty. I think there was a lot of positives with that. But when you do that, now the next year, you're taking a guy picked even higher than Malik Nabers who wants to emulate Lawrence Taylor. It is very hard to put the toothpaste back in the tube when you did this last year. So I think there's an element where he's serious, and I got to be honest with you. Do it. I think he's going to be that great.
First of
do
all,
it. Make
bro,
56
first of all,
like that iconic pass rush number with the Giants now.
First of all, LT is never going to give that permission.
That's
it's
a different
not
story.
Not happening.
He may not, but if he did, I'm all for it.
You're insane, bro.
But you already did it. How insulting is that to Ray Flaherty? You did it already.
First of all, the Ray Flaherty thing was very different. I didn't love it at the time, but I also understood it. Like, it brought attention to a guy that most Giant fans didn't know about. It was a long, long time ago. But I agree, I didn't really love the precedent of it, precedent of it. But we talk about the pressures of being third overall. Lawrence Taylor, to many who saw him, is the greatest, most impactful defensive player to ever lace him up. You think Micah Parsons is good? Yeah, he's good. He can't wipe the tuchus of Lawrence Taylor. So to put that kind of pressure, it's not fair to anybody.
Yeah,
but he wants
insanity.
That pressure.
Well, I mean, Ray Flaherty, let's be clear. He only played for the New York Giants. First, he was the New York Yankees, right? New York Yankee? Or is it Yanks? Yanks. New York Yanks.
Yeah.
New York Yanks, which ultimately left and became the Cowboys. But he stayed in New York, and he had five numbers in his career. One was just the last one. And so
it's less impactful, is your point.
Exactly.
And I agree with you.
It's not like he was known as number one, because he could have been known as number 20, or he could have been known as number 11, or 17, or 6. Those are all the numbers that Ray Flaherty wore. It's a different situation.
But you know what else? I don't know if you guys remember this. So a couple of years ago, before Ohtani got the free agency, the Mets are doing a broadcast, and Gary Cohen flippantly asks Keith Hernandez, hey, Keith, would you give up 17, which they just retired for Keith, which was a big honor for him, would you give it up for Shohei Ohtani? It was some of the most uncomfortable TV ever because Keith Hernandez, you could all hear without him saying how he felt, which is, are you freaking kidding me? I'm going to give up my number that they just retired, but he didn't want to be a jerk. So he didn't say it, but it was like, he was pissed. Right. And Phil Simms, because let's bring him into the discussion. I heard Boomer and Joe talking about this a couple days ago because of the fact that Abdul Carter wore 11. Like, would Phil give up the number? Phil may handle it like Keith, which is like, I'm not going to say what I really think, but are you bleeping kidding me? I'm not giving up my retired number for a kid who's done nothing in this league? Yeah, I don't care how hyped up he is. And so even putting Phil Simms or Lawrence Taylor in a position to have to say anything publicly is asinine. And I'll tell you this, when Joe Namath, and Joe did it right here on this station, did it with Sal... BT, or was it with you? It may have been with you and BT. I forget the timing. It was with you.
Right.
You and BT. When he said, oh, I'll give up 12 for Rodgers, I was pissed at that too. I was like, bro, I know you're trying to be nice. I respect it. Are you kidding me? And can you imagine an alternate universe, Teak, where Rodgers said, sure, I'll take 12 after that debacle?
Yeah. No, it wouldn't have happened. It would have been completely different and I don't know, just perceived differently. But I'm looking at Ray Flaherty, just to go back on this, because I'm now in a rabbit hole with Ray Flaherty. You know, he's a Hall of Famer, but he's a Hall of Famer as a coach, because he won two championships, both with Washington. He coached with the New York Giants for three seasons after having, whatever, a 7-8 year season with the New York Giants, where he moved multiple numbers, but he's a Hall of Famer and immortalized as a coach, most of which was not with New York.
Right.
And so I know what we're saying. Ray Flaherty is not congruent with Lawrence Taylor. It's just not the same.
Well, okay.
And I'm not disparaging him. I'm just saying. It's just different than Lawrence Taylor, who is the greatest defensive end ever to play.
What kind of fan are you,
he's
showing?
The, he's the greatest New York Giant, most impactful New York Giant that we've ever seen.
Yes.
First of all, I think the failure potential of Abdul Carter is not there. And I'm just saying, if he wants
because it's Lawrence Taylor.
You also have to realize something, Evan. Lawrence Taylor retired in 93, okay? There are Giant fans. Now, we all know we're engraved in it, right? I didn't see the bulk of Lawrence Taylor at all in my prime. Think about, you're talking about two generations of Giant fans that maybe by unretiring 56, we get that rejuvenated, how great was LT,
but
really?
But there's my generation and the year after who saw all of LT.
Oh, they'll hate it. No doubt about it. But they also hated the Yankees growing
the generation
beards.
Before me, so, by the way. Right.
This is the Yankee beard policy.
No, it's not. No, it's not. No.
Those people that hated the beards are going to hate the unretiring. The young generation will like this.
There's no reason to do it. And besides putting unneeded pressure, first of all, you can't talk about Abdul Carter like he's unbustable. Every person is bustable.
Well, no, but
everybody is.
Injuries, whatever. Anything can happen.
Remember this, though, Evan. I think there's a pretty cool tradition that Dallas Cowboys have. And that is every time they get a receiver they think is going to be their big-time receiver, they pass on the number 88. Michael Irvin's 88 isn't hanging there. They pass it to Dez Bryant, to pass it to CeeDee Lamb. What if, by Abdul Carter being the one that actually encourages taking on this pressure, 56 becomes the dominant Giant pass rush number like the Cowboys?
It becomes a tribute.
It's a tribute.
Why did LeBron wear 23? Because he wanted
Jordan,
to.
Right.
That's crazy. You are going to be the next Jordan, and you wanted to wear 23. Right. And LeBron, arguably, I don't want to get in this argument with Tiki, is better than Michael Jordan. So
he's just different.
I think it's symbolic. I think he's looking at it. Remember, he tweeted out the photo of LT after the meeting with the Giants. I think Abdul Carter sees it as a symbol. Lawrence Taylor is the symbol of the Giants defense. I want to be like LT and
When Lawrence Taylor publicly says, I'm ashamed that anyone would even suggest this, and I'm offended by you bringing it up, will both you, Tommy, and you, Sean, apologize to him?
Abdul Carter brought it up. Abdul Carter brought it up.
No, but you guys are on the radio saying,
I'm going to fight with Lawrence Taylor. I won't survive. I'm going to put my tail between the legs and pretend I didn't say
it. No, I didn't say the Giants should do it. What I'm saying is that I think Abdul Carter, what he's saying is that 56 is symbolic, not that he wants the number in reality. That 56, what it means.
Okay.
Did the Cowboys not have any retired numbers?
That I don't know. I just know the 88 tradition. And one more note, and I'm sorry, because he's not going to say it. If Mason Crosby at 41 years old with half a foot left can take Tiki Barber's 21, Abdul Carter could wear Lawrence Taylor's 56.
They hand out that 21 like it's nothing.
Enough.
Didn't they give it to someone else already, the 21?
Enough.
Yes.
Stay tuned for...
So here's a couple of things from the Giants. Obviously, we'll start with Abdul Carter, who goes number 3. This was on Westwood One after he gets drafted. He says, crazy how things have turned out.
It was definitely surreal, something I dreamed of as a kid. Fun fact, I actually had a dream when I was 12, 13 years old. I got drafted to the Giants, so it's actually me living out my dream. So
no way.
Dope. Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Did you ever tell anybody about that dream?
I told Coach Daboll, but it's pretty hard to believe, but it's actually true. So I'm just thankful to be here to celebrate this moment with my family.
These guys are just built different. When I was 12, I was dreaming that my teeth fell out like by a dog. I'm not kidding. Used to be my recurring dreams back when I was a kid. And spit out all my teeth, and then there was this dog that would come after me and bite me.
And this guy's dreaming about being drafted by the Giants.
Yeah.
That's a NARP dream.
Hell yeah, it was.
100%.
Yeah.
He mentions Coach Daboll there. So here's Daboll last night. This is after they take Carter, but before they make the trade, obviously, to move up to get Dart. Daboll is talking about how when he was at Penn State on a family weekend, I guess his daughter goes there, it sounds like, he really got to know Carter.
Getting ready to leave, I went to a little breakfast spot down there at Penn State that I've been to a few times. And we had a great breakfast, great meeting. He's a great kid.
Great kid. And so when he got on the phone with him last night, this is how things went.
You're one hell of a football player, and I look forward to working with you, buddy. You're really going to help us, boy. You got me?
Let's make history. Yes, sir.
That's a long way from that little breakfast we had, huh?
Absolutely.
So there you go.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't remember anything about that.
I think he does.
Now, they did trade up, as we know, and you've discussed, to get Jackson Dart. Here was Joe Shane on the quarterback search finally coming to an end. At least they believe they've got their guy.
Yeah, it's been exhausting, to be honest with you. I mean, we've been, you know, whether it's, you know, here all week and then you go on the road in the fall, or, you know, all the way up to Easter weekend, you're still on the road.
Man, there's a lot going on, and the call to Dart.
Jackson. Yes, sir. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, man?
Let's do it.
Everybody's having a blast. Now, I don't know if this is the one in particular you were talking about with Gruden, but this was Gruden going over the film with him and just how he stands in and gets clobbered every game.
You are one tough son of a bitch, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
When you see these rushers beating down on you here, why don't you abort the play and take off? Why do you stand in there and do this?
I just feel like as a quarterback, you know, you got to be the one that sets the tone of the offense, you know, regardless of how many times you're going to get hit and not get hit. And
I mean, honest to God, man, I have seen you stand in there and take some real heat, man.
So there you go. They got a tough kid.
Yeah. Yeah, he also said that he can't run and take the tackles like he's taken.
Mm.
And he said, you know, it's reckless and careless and you're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be those are two words he used, reckless and careless. And then he pulled up like a play sheet. He's like, I'm going to be standing there going, where's Dart, man? And you're going to be over there with a hurt shoulder.
My bad.
Well, I mean, you know, so Josh Allen was reckless and careless when he got into the NFL. So was Lamar Jackson. So was, well, Jaden Daniels actually protected himself. Anthony Richardson was definitely reckless and put himself
and got hurt.
Yeah.
The Josh Allen comparisons are going to make my head explode.
But he's not going to be starting, so don't worry.
I know. But like it's like, but that's exactly my point. Like you sat here, and I'm surprised that you make that comparison because you, Josh Allen was one of your guys. You sat there and talked about him for months leading up to the draft.
The only reason
I didn't hear a single goddamn word about Jackson Dart being Josh Allen until last night.
I only say Josh Allen just because of his size and his athleticism. He doesn't play like Josh Allen played at Wyoming, for sure. I mean, why?
The only reason anybody's saying Josh Allen is because Brian Daboll had Josh Allen, and Brian Daboll drafted this guy.
And this kid's
Giants
a big
fans
kid.
Are thirsty and AF, and they're to have a quarterback.
And there's the same size, essentially. But Josh was all over the place when he was Wyoming because he had to be.
The Jets, meantime, very much quieter with their first-round pick, offensive tackle Armand Memu. Here's Aaron Glenn. He says this kid really gets after it.
Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. Listen, our guys are seeing that, too, that's watching this draft. They see how he operates. Listen, we have some guys that operate like that, too. So it's really our identity.
There you go. The new identity.
One more thing
of the
before
Jets.
While we're still on this.
Yeah.
Jackson Dart's 3 inches shorter than Josh Allen. He's 6'2". Josh Allen's 6'5". So this whole he looks the same thing to who? That blind guy who wants to date my mother-in-law calls from Sayville? He's 237 as opposed to 225. They're not the same guy. They're not even close.
Hence the pudginess.
Right. Pudgy. I don't know who said that. Somebody said that. I don't know. Could have been Pat Boyle.
Or somebody wrote it. And then somebody said it.
A couple of other things from the NFL. The Titans did take Cam Ward at 1, as expected. And then we had the Jaguars moving up to 2, making the trade with the Browns so they could get Travis Hunter. Much like you, a lot of John Gruden here, a lot like you, though. Here was Gruden, who just loved what Cleveland did.
I think the team you got to be talking about is the Cleveland Browns. I think they fleeced Jacksonville. Yeah. To get the Jaguars' number one pick next year and only move down a few spots. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. So they got the fifth overall pick this year.
Greatest trade ever. There you have it. And then we've talked about Shedeur Sanders, who was not drafted in the first round. You talked the other day about the way Mike Tomlin had talked as much about him as anybody, any prospect he had, and yet when the pick came and went, they took defensive tackle Derek Harmon. Ryan Clark, the former Steeler, was watching, and this was on Instagram, his live reaction to them not taking Sanders.
He's a good player. Mason Rudolph! Mason Rudolph!
He's all right.
He went to Tennessee and got worse.
You know what we're going to do? Oh, let's wait for Aaron. Wait for Aaron to make a decision.
Listen, Aaron might be. Aaron going to call Aaron.
Bro, we let Aaron Rodgers hold us hostage like we are four. We the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm. So he's not happy. So you have that.
And these ESPN guys, they're getting checks from Sanders Inc., man. Holy hell. I mean, these guys cannot get their lips off of his ass. I mean, Lewis Riddick and Ryan Clark and Mel Kiper. It's like,
yeah, Kiper's doing. He loves them. Yep.
There's something else going on, guys. There has to be something else.
And then you got the Seahawks taking North Dakota State offensive lineman Gray Zabel, if that's how you pronounce his last name. He got the phone call from the Seahawks, you know, GM and coach or whatever, and here was his reaction on the phone with them.
What's next? What do you do tonight? What do you do tomorrow before the Seahawks send you out here?
Man, I'm probably going to start diving into these Busch Lights and celebrating.
That's great.
He said he wants 12 hours to celebrate and take it all in.
That is the, yes.
That's the kind of guy you want on your team, man.
And I'll tell you right now, exactly. And that's someone who is mature beyond his years because he knows, I'm going to celebrate for this amount of time.
That's it.
This is it. Yep. Then I'll get to work, you know?
And Busch Light.
Busch Light.
Jerry, hold on for a second. Let's go to Mike in Bayonne. Mike, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, guys. Gio, I got a bone to pick with you this morning, Gio.
Yeah.
Is everything okay this morning? Because you've done nothing but rip the Giants since 6 o'clock this morning.
Okay.
How many Ole Miss games have you actually watched all year? Okay?
I sat there and watched.
No. If the Giants like a quarterback, you go out and get him, Gio.
Okay, Mike. Hey, listen to me. Hold on for a second.
Hold on a second!
For God's sakes, I'll talk to you. And by the way, I said this for dummies like you earlier that I hated the Vikings pick of J.J. McCarthy. I said he stinks and I hated it. So that has nothing to do with it being a Vikings fan or not. And how many Ole Miss games did John Gruden watch of Jackson Dart? And I'll tell you right now, he thinks he stinks.
How many times have you watched him play?
How many times have you watched him play?
More than you.
How many times have you watched him play? How many times? Seriously. You're a Giants fan, so you're going to suck off every one of their picks. He's from Ole Miss like Eli. You're probably one of those sickos who sat there and defended Daniel Jones for 6 freaking years. Get over it. He's a pudgy Utah clapper. How many games at Ole Miss? I don't need to watch any games at Ole Miss. How many games at BYU did I watch Zach Wilson play? 0, and I knew he was going to suck. And he did.
NFL draft passion.
Gio. How many games you watch, Gio? Stop it. God, this is his snap count. He's a system quarterback in Lane Kiffin's offense. Go look up Matt Corral. How'd that work out? God, I just crumpled up a read I'm supposed to.
Matt Corral's in the UFL, but
I'll lose my voice again.
Wow.
Gio.
I love Carter. I mean, wow. And I like the aggressive nature of the Giants pursuing somebody at a position that they need to address. My only concern is the execution was either rushed or not fully thought out. And I just went through this before, you know, starting with the Stafford flirtation. Well, that wasn't even a flirtation. That was just straight up begging. How much a year? Yep, we'll give it to you. Like Stafford, they wanted Stafford big time. And then, you know, flirted with Rodgers, kicked the tires. Obviously, Russell Wilson comes in. Then they offer up a pretty sizable trade package for Cam Ward. I like Jackson Dart. I do. I think many of you are maybe misinterpreting what I'm saying, which I can't help. I mean, it is what it is, and that's fine. I'm not here to disparage the young man. I'm not saying he can't succeed. I'm not saying he doesn't have good traits that I think some of which are transferable, if not all of them, transferable to the NFL. What I'm saying is I'm a little confused by how the Giants got there. That's it. From the Jets' perspective, this was the player that I wanted. Don't get me wrong. Of course, I was, you know, kind of thinking about Ty Warren, you know, maybe even the receiver. But I just knew that, well, I strongly thought that Aaron Glenn wanted to go in this direction. And I myself felt that this is the best way to build the Jets from the engine out. You know, we're always chasing the shiny objects. And that's great, you know, if the car, you know, looks like $1 million, but it's not great if it runs like it's, you know, $1.50. And too often, you know, we have been fooled and betrayed and completely misguided in what we think the Jets could be or what they are because we never lift up the hood and actually look at the inner operations of the team. Well, when you start to do it now with the Jets and their five offensive linemen, all of whom are young, not one of them's 27, not one of them's older than 27. 60% of those guys are first round picks, and they're all nasty. Like, they're mean and they're athletic. So I think it's very obvious what the identity of the Jets is, right? And this is a good thing. Like, again, as much as I kind of question how the Giants got to where they got with Dart, the one thing I could say about both of these teams that has been lacking forever is that, to me, the identities are very clear, very apparent. The Jets are going to be a tough, you know, shove it down your throat, run it 30-something times a game. That counts Justin Fields, obviously, and try to win that way. And the Giants, of course, the Giants are going to try to score, and their defense and their offense will be better than it was a year ago. But the Giants' defense is going to pin its ears back, and they are just going to annihilate you. I can't wait to watch the Giants' defense. I am really high on that. And I've been saying that for a while. Like, you think about now Abdul Carter, and you watch the tape, and he's jumping around from spot to spot. You know, his pursuit skill from the weak side, he's not just, listen, it's nice to just put your hand in the ground and beat somebody one-on-one. That's awesome. But and I'm not going to say there's a lot of guys who could do that, because it's still a pretty rare trait. And it's a commodity that's very valued in the NFL. But if you can do that, which he can, but you could also bust it from 15 yards away and blow up a play, which he can, now you could deploy him anywhere. And guess what? That makes Burns better and Thibodeau better and Sexy Dexy better. I just think the Giants defense is going to be fun. So there you go. A good night. A little perplexed at how the Giants got there. Not crushing the player, just questioning the method or the methodology to get there. BT and Sal on the Fan on this Friday. It's 12:05. Let's get back to the calls. Now, I have figured out how to do this. We'll get to that later. Let's see. I think I figured it out. Here we go. Dave is in Middlebury, Connecticut. What's up, Dave?
Hey, good morning, my friend. Hey, I appreciate your commentary. It's a little bit tamer from the fireworks from the morning crew.
Oh, they were fired up today. They're usually not fired up.
You know,
I think it's good. I got to tell you, fired up Gio's not a bad thing once in a while. He was, I was
entertaining.
He was nuts today. I love it. There you go.
Yeah, very good. I agree with you. You know, long time Giants fan, season ticket holder for years. You know, listen, this is what Dable wanted, right? And I think at the end of the day, you know, everybody that has to take, you know, you don't know. It's a crapshoot draft. Everybody knows that.
Yep.
I do think this, though. One thing you did comment on earlier, which was, you know, is he going to get practice? Listen, I think Dable wanted this kid. They moved up to get him. He's going to work this kid in practice. I don't know that he's going to play this year. I agree with you there. But I think for at least for Dable,
yeah,
you know, it checked all the boxes. And I think the Giants, like you said, I completely agree with you. The identity is going to be the defense. And listen, who are we kidding? We never had anybody that was a superstar, even at the quarterback position for a very long time. Our identity, going back to the Bill Arnsberger days, was a good defensive team. You'd win games ugly, 17-13, even during the Parcells era.
Yep.
And so the Giants have, and I agree with you completely, I appreciate that comment wholeheartedly, an identity now, again. And I think that's what Carter brings to the team. And I think that, and Dable's satisfied, and, you know, whether it's the Ole Miss thing, I don't care less about all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what Dable's going to go down with the ship. It's his guy. He wanted this guy. And you're right. We whiffed on all the other things, you know, from Rodgers, going back to Ward, and even as far as, you know, the ship that sailed losing to the Colts, you know what I mean?
And by the way, Dave, sometimes by whiffing on things that you may have or may not have, but maybe would have wanted in the past, and thanks for the call, maybe you get lucky. Like, listen, we could talk about the great franchises, and there's a commonality there. You know, it's a thought process. It's a continuity to that thought process, but it's also an ability to evolve with the different, whether it's an analytics or different trends, whatever it might be. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why certain franchises are just consistently good. They have good people, smart people, adaptable people. They draft well. They develop well. You look up 10 years, not that you win in 10 Super Bowls, but you're probably going to the playoffs 8-9 times, and you probably have a Super Bowl or two. And we know who those teams are. And then conversely, we know what the bad teams and what their commonality is. And it's complete turnover. And in certain situations, it's like a lack of harmony, like with the Jets over the years, and like at the end of the Coughlin situation with Mara, you know, like that is dysfunctional, that generally escapes the quality teams. And if it does permeate their building, they snuff it out quick. Like, think about the end. You know, I'm not here to knock around Odell Beckham Jr., but think about how long they let him get away with some of those charades. Like, and I'm not saying he was more of an answer than the problem, but that's a bit of a microcosm of how the Giants lost their way, including Coughlin, who I've got profound respect for as a man, as a leader, as a coach, as an American. Like, I love Tom Coughlin. But Tom Coughlin lost his fastball by letting, you know, Odell kind of run the show. And there's a doing all those dopey things, pretending he's peeing in the end zone against Philly, against the hydrant. Like, come on, man. That to me was the onset of the thread being pulled from the sweater of the Giants. And every year that thread got pulled and, you know, you got less and less sweater. Well, you know, at least right now it feels stable. It feels like there's a vision and it feels like there's a continuity to that vision, which is good. Now, they may have wanted other things before they actually got Jackson Dart. And I told you, and you know what they were. We ran through it a million times. Five different players. But that doesn't mean all five would have been better options than Dart. It just means I'm a little confused by how they got there. But I would also push back. I don't know where he's getting the reps from. Honestly, I don't know if Boomer said this. And I was thinking it. Like, I'm like, man, what are they going to do with Jameis? And then Boomer's like, you might have to cut him. And Gio was like, cut him. And like, I can understand why Greg had that reaction. But as soon as Boomer said that, even before that, I was thinking that. And like, I'm going to stand on that. I don't think you get rid of him because he's not a good guy. Like, I don't think you need him. What do you need him for? What's he going to do? I mean, if you had Drew Locke around, all right, you know, Drew Locke, he's not going to play. Who cares what he thinks, you know? But Russ is the starter. You're going to really relegate Jameis to the third spot? And if you do, is he going to be okay with that? I would just cut him. I would really cut him. If you believe that much in Dart. And you just go into the season, Russ is the starter. Maybe even if you do DeVito as the two for like a week or so. And then, boom. All right, DeVito, you can stick around. But now Dart's getting the whatever reps remain from Wilson. They're going to Dart. Like, they can't go to Jameis Winston is my point. That doesn't do anything for the Giants. I'm sure they thought about that, though. Let me get Joe and Corum. Joe, BT and Sal, what's up, Joe?
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You got it, buddy.
I've been a Giants fan since 1963. Okay, so I've seen it, heard it all. Mm-hmm. I was in the bar business. We owned a couple of bars, so you heard guys before sports talk radio. And the one thing I'll say is Mara is Mara. And I think he had a lot to do with this decision for Dart. They've had a certain profile for the quarterbacks that they like, and I think that continued. I think the Stafford would have been the way to go if they could get him. But I don't think that they would go any other way, because I believe once they signed Wilson and Winston, they figured they wanted somebody who was willing to sit a full year. And I think they did a lot of homework on him. I had heard that Dables had gone to the school. His son was attending the school, either a freshman or a sophomore. So they probably studied a little bit about his personality, the way he acts, you know. And I think that had a lot to do with it. I agree with you that it wasn't the first pick. It was probably the fourth pick of all. I don't think they ever really considered Milroe. I really don't.
I agree with you. I would disagree with them not, but I think that you're right. I agree with that.
Yeah. And the last thing, you know, even if they would have signed Rodgers, geez, we saw how that worked out here in New York. You know, I don't think that would have made sense at this time.
Yeah, I agree.
I think they figured, you know, and that's all. You know, the Jets could have drafted Bo Nix last year. Yeah. Right, they could have.
Yeah, they could have, and they would have failed them like they failed everybody else.
And maybe that would have been a better move. They wouldn't be in this position where they're playing Fields now, who we don't know how limited he is.
You know, and by the way, Joe, it would have been the better move in 3 years when Bo Nix was no longer a Jet. He went to a different team, and he actually looked like he could play football.